This is the Amateur Skeptics Podcast, number 306. Join me this evening, Mac.
Come Monday, it will no longer be all right.
Mad Cat is with us.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. Wow, that's enthusiastic. And of course, we have the dumbass himself.
Is that moisture I've detected in your input port, or are you just happy?
I like that one.
It could be both.
It could be both. That's true. It could be both. Your floppy port is so moist.
Ooh, it's not supposed to get like that.
Yeah. Okay. That's actually a bad thing.
That's never happened before. Hold on. Just let me run to the washroom.
That has a dampening effect.
I suppose you guys heard that Jimmy Buffett.
We did hear that Jimmy Buffett. There's a, who else? There's a couple of people that that was thinking of passed away, but Jimmy Buffett certainly.
That's affecting.
That's what?
It's affecting.
It is. Okay.
Right. Shall we have a moment of silence for Jimmy Buffett? That was good.
Okay,
that
good.
That was very good. Yeah. Yes.
Anything else going on?
Oh, just. You didn't take a look at the pictures in the
menu.
Oh, no, yeah. Okay. You'll love those pictures.
All right. Got some. Oh, this is of your finger.
Yep.
Is it getting... Oh, my God. That is very broken.
That is very worse. Yes.
It is not getting better. He should stick some screws in.
It's hard to do to a finger bone, though.
What?
How do you put a plate in a finger bone? Can you?
I do not believe it's a plate that he'll be doing anything with, but... We're taking this week for me to do some exercises with it. It's about the same. Probably it's gotten worse. It hasn't gotten better. So he'll have to operate on. I don't think he put a plate in. Also.
Yeah, I know. He's gonna have to. I don't know how you put that back together. But that. So this is the finger that you've been having. The same finger you've been having problems with, or is this a new problem?
Nope. This is the same finger
one.
That
okay.
I. Yeah. Little one.
Yep. Okay.
Little one that got. Broken.
I know that when my sister had her arm badly broken and they didn't do surgery on it in the first place, so it healed wrong.
Then they break it again.
They had to break it again, but there was a section that was short, so they had to put in some corpse there. So
yeah.
Ooh.
So it also means that if my sister ever goes rogue, I'll have to do a headshot. Because, that does officially make her part zombie.
Yeah, I'm just trying to imagine, because when you put a plate, you screw two sides of the bone together. But I don't know how, a finger is so small.
I'm wondering if they could do some sort of an external stabilizer. I don't know.
Even worse is that this is the pinky.
So
it's just the little one.
So, but when they go in there to do this, are you just going to have them cover the rest of the bones with adamantium in that area?
I wish they would.
They're in there.
You need that finger to be able to properly drink tea in a posh manner.
That is true.
You also need that finger.
Four?
I mean,
go
you
ahead.
Don't even have to use it just for drinking tea. I mean, you can just, hold a bottle of Pepsi and stick it out just, drinking Pepsi fancy.
Well, it won't move anyway.
So it's always out, no matter what you're drinking.
It's always out there. It does not move. The top digit is just flopped. And the rest of it, you can't move the knuckle. Oh, the knuckle's off of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm still, my back is getting better. I've been doing my exercises every night, and I've started walking. I'm walking a lot and, starting to get cardio while I'm walking. And I guess, the Fitbit's kind of nice for that. So I'm doing that, and my resting heart rate is, so 2 weeks I've been very consistent, and I can already I'm feeling better, I have more energy, so I'm excited, exercise is a good thing, and so I'm getting back to it. It's been hard this year, it's so hot down, every day is like 115 with the heat index, you just don't want to do
it. Miserable up here, too.
Yeah, but I've been pushing myself and getting out there and walking it.
And we have smoke again.
I saw that you guys had that there was a whole bunch more fires.
Yep.
There's a bunch in the U.S., too. And it's affecting air quality everywhere. It's not good. It's bad.
I did see a movie this week about a single father trying to help his daughter with hoarding issues.
Okay,
It's called the Little Mermaid.
Oh God, I think that means it's time to move on, right?
I think it's time to move on.
Well, I guess then. What time is
it? It is time for the dumbass masturbation moment, brought to you by the Dumbass Media Empire.
The Amateur Skeptics present Ian's Masturbation Moment, brought to you by the Dumbass Media Empire. The Dumbass Media Empire. bringing you content that touches people while they touch themselves.
We got a couple of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can start. So there used to be a thing called Slutbot. And what it was is it started out as like it was a texting thing. So you go to Slutbot and you'd give it your phone number and you could text back and forth with a bot, you know, that was sexed with you is what it was. And so when I went to I heard about that. So I went to go. I thought, well, okay, let's see, you know, let's experiment a little. So I went and signed up for Slutbot, and it sent me to their Discord. And their Discord basically said that Slutbot had been shut down because there was a Discord bot too, apparently. But that's been all shut down, and everything pointed me to LoveGPT. So obviously ChatGPT for sexting or for having a sexy converse. And I signed up too late to get to the beta, but it's now up and running, and I've been playing with a little. I don't have a lot of experience with it, but I mean, it's pretty simple the way it gets started. But one of the things that it does that's different than ChatGPT is that you start out. It's a lover GPT. You have to choose somebody that's the sex with. And right now, I only see options to chat with women, which is kind of tells you how this skews, I guess. Which is a little bit surprising. That you would think.
Yeah, it seems like it would be fairly to program a bot to go from the other direction as well.
Exactly. So technology. It doesn't either. It could be my profile. Because when I set my profile up, I told them what my preferences are. So maybe that's not true. But my experience is that I click on the home and I have options for different women. So I have Ava, who's 22 and a secretary. Luna, 19, e-girl. Serafina, who's 25, and a masseur. A masseuse?
Did you, choose, personality types and stuff?
Yeah, it's no more than this. Olivia's a teacher. Olivia is 30 and a teacher. Vespera? Anyway, she's 33 and a founder and CEO. Emily is a tattoo artist. Mia is 24 and an influencer. Victoria is 40 and a housewife.
So, they take on these personalities and pretend like they're...
That's their starting point, I guess, is Isabella is 21 and a student, and Winona is 119 and a fairy.
I'm looking at the ad they're placing on their site here, and it seems like they're sending, pictures. Do they AI generate pictures
I don't
of
know.
Themselves?
I don't know. I was given a picture in here. She sent me a picture of what she would be wearing for an encounter. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so there's a couple of that. My favorite, though, I think is the 119-year-old fairy. And if you click on, there's a little box that can tell you more. It says, greetings, kindred spirits. I'm Winona, a mystical being from an enchanted realm of Eldora. Within me flows the of magic and the heart.
Soon the ethic of magic will be flowing out all over your face.
Apparently, yes, exactly. That's But anyway, that's kind of interesting. So I didn't notice that before. There's a little bio that goes along with these women.
You know, I kind of want to make an account. Well, I am going to make an account, but
well,
I
of course
want
you
to
are.
Go in and just start asking really mundane questions, like the stuff you'd ask ChatGPT, and see if any of them are hey, aren't we going to get to some sexting or something?
That'd be quite funny. That's good. There's a couple of things that I've noticed is that the women skew fairly young, because I think the oldest woman in here is 33.
I beg to differ.
Well, 117, but there's a fairy. That's a very young fairy.
Yeah, it seems like, I don't know how hard it is to train a... bot under a certain personality. I know you can just ask ChatGPT to adopt us.
And I imagine that, I don't know. I mean, yeah, there's no generic, here, ask me for something, right? I mean, so, and now I'm noticing that on the side.
I've heard that there are some of these types of things that allow you to create custom, people so you'd be able to put in a custom. So if you wanted a much older, you could put that in.
Perhaps. I mean, yeah, it's just interesting that the defaults are fairly young skewing. And I don't know where these photos have come from that they've got in here, but there are a list of different photos. I suspect that they're probably AI. I don't know if they are or not. I have no idea where these could be stock photos or something that they've gotten. I don't know.
I mean, like, They could be just like, they could be AI and pre-generated, but what would be interesting is if they are like generated at the time. But you said these are
They're not generated. These seem to already all be things that are generated here. It is interesting that the photo that was sent to by the bot is none of the ones that are initial profile for that bot.
What would be interesting is like you create a custom bot with like features that you want and everything like that.
It would be kind of cool. Be able to
automatically generate.
Oh, there's an option here to request a new character.
Oh,
I can build my own woman.
Hey, Brian.
Yes.
Now, when you talk about stock photos, you're talking about photos that were taken by women who weren't aware that men were following them.
No, not stalker photos. That's not quite where I was going.
That could have been a woman. You never know.
I don't know. I don't know where the photos are coming from. I like this idea. I'll have to play with this of creating my own character. That'll be interesting. Then I don't know.
Can you give them specific fetishes?
I think so. I suspect you can.
I'm just gonna give them a fetish that I don't have just to have fun with it.
There's no rules here.
Maybe I'll discover something.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe I'll finally get this foot thing that a lot of people are into.
You know, that is like one of the number one fetishes, though. I mean, I think we've looked at that. I mean, it is, I can understand the slight appeal, but as far as being a fetish, I can get off without feet. I don't need them. But yeah, a lot of people, that huge thing. Foot fetish is a huge thing.
A lot of the ladies' faces are very, very, but I can't really say for sure whether this is, if this is generated. The skin looks super.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. That's the part that gets me, is that the skin is extremely, but there's that one face generator, right, that generates random faces. That looks pretty good. I've seen those out there. So I don't know. I don't know where these photos came from.
I mean, and like the AI generators out there, like a lot of them will have settings that do really good at creating faces.
Yeah.
And so, the girls in there they're definitely meant to appeal to girl next door wholesome, just a shade over Hallmark pretty.
I mean,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, I these answers may be out there. I don't know. I was going to give it a name.
Oh, you're creating one right now.
I am right now, yeah.
Yeah, I'm on too.
Oh, okay, good. Oh, so did it let you sign in? You create an account?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. So anybody can create an account now. Okay. Because I've been waiting, you know, I created mine, like I said, the day late to get into the beta. Oh, okay. Is my character are human or non-human fantasy? I'm going to say human. I know a dumbass would say non. But yeah, so and then ask you the ethnicity, and of course, other is an option, mixed race. Okay.
Well, now see, this is discriminatory.
It is? Okay. How's that?
Oh yeah, it's highly discriminatory because it says you can be of a different race, but it cannot be.
Well, but
because right at the beginning when you try to sign up, you have to certify that.
Oh god. Yeah, but your character now—the character you're creating. Can be a robot.
Sure, you say that now.
Well, sure. You can't be a robot, but you know, that's funny. I haven't done this in a while. So yeah, so it does ask for male and female. I'm guessing the reason I'm only seeing females is because of my profile. I imagine that if you depending on what your profile was when you started it, would that might, you know, they might show you different options. So that's good to know.
You want
to
give any of us a referral ID, Brian? There's a referral ID thing here.
Oh, there is? Oh.
Would you like to refer us?
I sure would.
Or do you get anything from that?
I have no idea. Where's the referral ID? I have no idea what I would get from that. Maybe I would get something for that. Where's the referral ID?
When I'm signing up for an account, it has to put one in.
I'm looking now. I'm trying to find profile. Oh, referral. Oh, here's the play. Oh, here's my referral ID. I'll put that in the chat. I'll go ahead and use my referral.
Actually, read it out so like anybody who's listening.
Okay.
Can put
that in. So it's so I think capitals might matter here. Capital A, capital K. Lowercase q, capital F, capital T, 6, K, capital Q.
6.
Here, and I can put the link in here too. If I had known that, I would have put that in there earlier. Here, here's the link. Here's my link right there. Here's my referral link. All right. I'll go put that in all of Mad Cat's general chats. I'll put it everywhere. Yeah, whatever. Go ahead.
I'm worried.
Anyway, I find it was only a matter of time before this happened, where you take ChatGPT and combine it with a sex bot, because you ChatGPT wouldn't let you do this. But obviously, taking that engine and then creating it and doing it this way, and specifically for that in purpose, was only a matter of time. So far, it looks, you know, I mean, I don't see any. Everything looks good so far. So pretty happy. And use my referral link.
Okay.
But
was it showing males?
No, it was request new characters.
So you can create a male character. I definitely.
Okay.
But yeah. So when I click on the thing, there's a realistic and fantasy and all. And so I don't know for sure, but it's possible that maybe these are I don't know if other people can use other people's characters. I have no idea.
I think so.
Yeah, so that might be that those are just what's been created so far. So somebody needs to create. But yeah, you can have a non-human character, but you can't be a non-human, Mac.
I can't be a non-human.
No, you can't be. I mean, you're pretty close as far as humans go, but no, you can't be.
And I definitely can't be a rope.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I went in there and I flicked through the different pictures of the characters, and honestly, I don't think that these are generated. I think that these are models.
You do. And that's possible. I mean, that's quite possible. So. Yeah.
They don't.
In fact, for a second, I swore one of them was one that I've seen before, was somebody I've seen before.
It's quite possible. Like I say, I don't know. There's a lot I don't know about this right at the.
Yeah, it has token.
So, yeah. So, I don't know. I'm going through them. We shall see. But, yeah. So, I'm finding it interesting. So, there you go. It was only a matter of time before we got it. And now it's here. They have a Discord group as well. That I'm a member of. I haven't spent a lot of time in that Discord group. And the Slutbot Discord group still exists. It's just that the Slutbot is not.
Well, I'm still waiting for my welcome message, but I guess as soon as I get that in, I'll check it out.
Did you use my link?
I did.
Thank you.
There we go.
What did it get you, by the way?
I have no idea. I have no clue.
Well, anybody listening, just in case it benefits them in some way, use it. It'll be in the show notes.
It'll be in the show notes. Absolutely. All right. Mutual masturbation is a good thing?
That's
absolutely it is. Shall we go into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right. Into the document.
Yeah, we're all...
All right. So, yes, there's this study. It was published. I will find the name. Yes, it was the University of Southampton. Searched 171 women. So, like, fairly small scale. And it was a survey. Yes, here it is. Published in the Internal Journal of Sexual Health.
Okay.
And basically, it was a survey about sexual activity, masturbation and such between... And they found basically that who engaged in mutual masturbation reported a higher level of sexual satisfaction.
I guess, I mean, we certainly that I don't find that surprising, and I don't imagine you do either. It is nice to see that to see it in writing.
That's true, and I you know like the article does also say though like you naturally jump to the causative factor, but it could just be the case that people who are more sexually satisfied tend to masturbate. So like there could be it could just be that. So. You got to be careful with drawing that conclusion too strongly.
I suppose that's true. Here's the thing is that it's one thing for people to say people who masturbate individually, right? But if you're masturbating together, mutual masturbating, that's one more step forward, right? I mean, with a partner.
I mean, yeah, of course, the intimacy of it and the connection, like all a great thing and add so much plausibility. Yeah, this is a part of something that will satisfaction.
Okay, yes. I would say though that the idea that people that are doing this together find it satisfying is not surprising to me. Let me put it to you. Because to me it shows degree of communication.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't surprising not to me, and it shouldn't be surprising to me. But yeah, one of the things in this article is how like there is a stigma to masturbating still in our society. You only do if you're like lonely or pathetic. You need that in order to get off because you can't get yourself some pussy.
And of course, nothing could be further from.
Exactly. Masturbation takes a lot of forms, and it's a joyous activity, one that I think is very well meant to be shared between sexual partners. And, you know, part of this is just, you know, my own thing. I'm trying to normalize masturbation as its own sex act with its own benefits and its own relevance outside of penetrative sex. It's just, I think we all agree on that, that's what the masturbation moment is all about.
I mean, here's part of I do agree. You know, having sex with another and getting each other off is sometimes. I mean, it's nice if it works, but sometimes, you know, one partner will get off and the other won't. And I think that masturbation to close those gaps sometimes. It isn't always that when you're with a partner, be able to always that give and take is.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of things you can do in the bedroom. I mean, I know it's unrealistic, but even if you look at porn most of the time, you know, they will be in a lot of different situations, several minutes at a time, switch to another way, I guess, is your favorite or whatever. But usually, it, you know, ends, you know, with fucking the climax. But like those kind of things, like part of those is like oral sex and mutual masturbation. And those things can go in any order.
Sure.
Whatever floats your boat.
So like if one partner finishes early, you know, you can still get the other one off.
I mean, I like that idea because, you know, there is a lot of talk of premature ejaculation and stuff like that, and that can be very important. But it doesn't have to mean that a sexual experience can't be fulfilling it just because one person has already gone off. The other, you can still get the other person off. Whether, you know, I mean, that there's still lots of options when it comes to sex, and masturbation is certainly one of them. And I like the idea of mutual masturbation.
Well, and there's currently nothing that they can do for premature ejaculation. Although
yes
I hear
no.
that something is coming quickly for that.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Oh, that's funny. Yes, coming quickly to a theater near you. Pee-wee should have known better, but.
I don't know. Should he have? I still say, what the hell are porn theaters for if not to masturbate in? What would you go to? I mean, it seems to me, I've never been to a porn theater. It just seems to me, if you go to one, you expect people to be masturbating there.
Okay. Don't disagree.
What else would you like? Are you watching porn for like the artistic merits of it?
Isn't everybody? I mean, I just forward through the sex scenes and I get back to the plot line.
That's an interesting way to watch. You know, make a review podcast about like just watching porn movies that way and just, you know, pick your favorites.
I don't know. Was there anything else interesting in the study? I mean, other than just. I mean, one of the things I guess that kind of surprised me is that it says a lot of people are doing it. Like, I mean, they asked, you know, how recently you did it, and never was only 70% of women and 50% of women for a total of 16.5. So it looks to me like this is something that at least amongst the people that they asked this of. But I guess I would ask the question of who did they survey? What was the demographic?
They go into that a bit here.
Okay, because to me that seems like a very low number for it to say never.
Yeah.
Because it seems to me that, like I say, that takes a certain amount of communication to be comfortable with doing this kind of thing with a partner. So I'm curious who they asked, because I'm imagining it wasn't a demographic of
I'm trying to find it here, but I believe they said they were mostly white people.
Okay, see. Well, and that's okay. But are they college age students? Is it more diverse than?
I thought I saw or something.
Average age of participant was 45.5. What? No, that's something else. That's not the average age. That's something else. Highest possible score.
0.45 would be
yeah.
People. They basically consulted people that were just under a half a year in age.
Okay. The highest possible score of positive emotions related to sexual satisfaction was 60. On average, our participants rated 45 points. But who are these? So I don't know. I am curious about the demographic because I feel like this is skewed.
I can't find that information that I thought I saw earlier.
I mean, the problem is that the what you've got up here is from the Daily Mail, right? So
it, yeah.
I mean,
they do go into more detail than I do about.
Yeah, like, sure. As far as Daily Mail articles go, this one is pretty good compared to some of the other garbage we've read. Yes. And their source is Internal Journal of Sexual Health, which I don't know much about this journal.
It sounds authoritative, but
it sounds.
You know what that means, right? Yeah.
Sounds like a very dominating.
But I mean, it is a study that was published in a legitimate journal.
I mean, did you read the full study? This full study is available, which is kind of nice. So probably all the information I wanted is in participant characteristics. Okay, here we go. 268 participants. 117 are women.
Oh, here.
And 151 are men. Ranging
I found the place that I found the information. It said sample consisted mainly of white, highly educated, and predominantly young individuals reported low attendance at religious service.
Okay, so
but, you probably have more information there about that.
Yeah, age range is 18 to 65. Completed the survey mostly. They completed the survey mostly. 60.1% were in relationships but not married. So that's pretty high. 60% were in relationships but not married. 37.7% were married. 55.6% reported a relationship length between 1 to 5 years. The most 70% reported having completed college / university or post grad degrees, and their ethnic background was white 76.1%. Full demographics reported in table one. It's a table done. Got to find table one. Did I miss it? Okay. Well, oh, no. Table one. Oh, table one. Display table one. Okay. So they go into a lot more of the demographics. White, primary, 217 heterosexual, only 31 bisexual. Lesbian or gay, 12. But yeah, mostly white, of white background. So British white and of white background. There's two different categories. So British white is 68 and other white background 136. So mostly them. So the white, but you can group white together, British or not, but that's okay. They specified, they broke it down. And the next largest category is going to be black background, and that's 23, followed by mixed, and then Asian. So very white. And I don't know if it average age. Looks like 29, the average. So they're pretty young. They say 79.7, so pretty young. Okay, so yeah, so very this is a survey of young people. It doesn't break the age part down further, unfortunately. It just gives me an average age. I don't see in here where it breaks
down. I'm not sure how much
down.
Real benefit we get from like overanalyzing the study. Real
probably not. Okay,
fairly small scale.
It is pretty. It is very small at under 300 people. Right. So I mean, this is the kind of thing that you want to that you really want to have thousands to get it. I think you need
and
thousands.
And yeah, it is a survey. So like it's very evocative and like really interesting and
yeah.
Suggest things that I think we all think are true anyway.
Yep.
A lot of plausibility. I think it's probably true.
Yeah. I do. I'm not surprised that it skews a little bit younger as far as age group. I would be interested to see how this would have looked if the average age was 45 or 50. Mm-hmm. I think that it would look very, because I think that generationally, how we feel about masturbation, or at least even talking about it, has changed. I hope so. I hope we're more willing to talk about it. But like your goal, and I agree with your goal, is to make it less taboo. In fact, not taboo at all. In fact, I would like to see people being naked not taboo at all, right? This idea that we have to cover up with clothing, and because it's so salacious if we don't, I think hurts us. Because when somebody shows a boob, or we see a pair of nuts.
Oh my God.
Exactly.
You know, Brian, you're gonna tank the value on all the ankle porn that I've got.
I don't know that I am, because there's still a way to do that sexy. just because you see ankles all day long doesn't mean that there can't still be sexy ankle pictures.
You know, it is interesting because and I guess people from different areas see it differently too, but I remember back when I was looking into Replica, I mentioned to a friend of mine online that, man, these chatbots are getting real good, and that I'd tried the roleplay feed with the chatbot, and she's like, why would you admit that to me? and I'm like, what? Is that weird or something that I tried it? Why are you, like, mental?
What do you think I mean,
of course, it's a chatbot that can do sexy stuff with you. How do you expect me not to at least have some curiosity and check that out? It's weird. So yeah, there's still kind of a stigma out there, and I'm a stigma fighter. I'm going to fight that stigma.
I think that these kinds of stigmas do us harm. I think that it creates shame. I think that it can sometimes this kind of shame, and I think it's sad that that we can't, we're so worried about how other people look and how it makes us feel that we have to prevent them from, this whole idea that girls have to dress a certain way so that they make don't get boys turned on or whatever is dangerous. Instead of it's telling, you know, telling boys that they need to behave them, right? Just because she's dressed like that doesn't mean it's for you. You can look, but that's it. You're done.
Right.
Unless you're invited beyond that.
It's like we're putting on all the onus on the girls to send the exact proper signals.
Right.
But then a lot of guys won't listen to those signals anyway. And it's like, the guys should be like, why is it all on the girls to like control this situation when the guys are usually the one who have the power?
Because guys have absolutely no self-control. It's been proven scientifically many times.
Right, right.
I know this one guy who one day he mentioned about a date. He was really upset about because she didn't put out or anything. He said, what made you think you would do that? Was she wearing some little top and little itty bitty skirt and stuff like that? And he says, yeah. And I'm like, you're
was it an eeny weeny polka dot bikini?
I don't know. It was to me, it was just simply, you're a jerk.
She probably wore something sexy she might have put out on that date, but he wore something that he shouldn't have.
Exactly. Yeah.
Gotta change into a new one of those.
It is fodder for comedians. I mean, Jeff Foxworthy has a whole joke about wanting to see women naked, and then he says grandma naked.
That's hilarious.
Right, but here's the thing.
It's
my
grandma!
But that joke only works because of the stigma about naked women. If it didn't exist, you know, if the idea of seeing any woman or anybody naked wasn't so salacious in a way, that joke falls on deaf ears all of a sudden, right? It's like, well, yeah, grandma's always naked, right? I mean, that's just how things are.
People see people naked, you know? I guess there is also something a little uncomfortable about seeing a body that is basically in your future. That's like, I'm gonna just get all decrepit like that.
That's right. You want to know what your wife's gonna look like in 40 years? Take a look at her mother.
Yeah.
Did you tell me to shut up?
Yeah.
Yes.
And go ahead and ask to see your wife's mother naked too. Like,
exactly. While you're at it. While you're at it.
And then on the other hand, you got nudity in the old age homes.
Well,
where they don't know what she was wearing, but it sure was wrinkled.
Oh, no.
Sorry, that's an old joke.
Yeah, it does. No, but here's the thing is, I think, though, I mean, well, comedians will find other jokes, but I think that we can render some of these jokes pointless, right? And that's okay, right? I think that this idea that people shouldn't be naked or usable naked, I don't know. Ultimately, I think it does us harm because it's pretty natural, right? Nudity is pretty natural. You come into this world nude, and I'd like to go out that way.
I'm nude right now.
Well, exactly, right? We know that, you know, Mac doesn't wear pants for podcasts.
It's true.
Why would you?
I'm wearing my Speedo.
I should get a Speedo.
Should we ask Victoria, 40, housewife, how she feels about Speedos?
I'd like to hear the answer.
I would ask her a secret.
I think Victoria, 40, was...
She was there when I...
Okay. Now I think that I... Before. Okay, well, that's good.
Please?
Go. How do you feel about men in Speedos? I spelled Speedos wrong.
Is that what
she
told
you? What is your feeling about Spedas?
It's about Spedas, yes. Oh, she has to admit, a man in Speedo can be quite a sight. And that they can showcase physical, be effective. What if dad bod? I might have spelled dad bod too. But luckily, ChatGPT or LoverGPT, I misspelled it.
They understand you. Oh my gosh.
Okay, but that's good, right? I mean, it's.
I think it has probably enough wherewithal to understand through misspellings.
Yeah. I'm waiting for a response. Oh, okay. Her response about the dad bod is to send me a topless picture. So I'm in. Yep. Okay.
If the bot actually, you know, takes any kind of look at the picture before commenting on it. Because I know they can do that now. Like, you can send, like, Bing a picture of, like, what is this? Let me look. Oh, that's this thing.
So, Brian, are you going to share the topless?
I can. Yeah. I don't see why I can't. You want to see?
Well, let's make it the album art.
Yeah.
The album art?
Let's see. Copy chat. Okay, here we go. Copy. I don't know if this is going to work or not. AI renders. Look, so these are rendered. Of course, looking at that address, it's a render. There you go. See, here she is. Yeah, well, yeah. But looking at the address, it's AI-render-S3. So they're doing so. This is three bucket on .eu.central1. So that's the location. So This is a photo sitting in an S3 bucket on Amazon AI-render. So I don't know. So it looks, so it kind of looks like it's based on the address, but that could just be an address, right?
I don't see the obvious sign from its AI. A couple places might be.
Yeah, I don't know. So when I do a Google search for AI dash rendering, I get AI render dash stable. So it could be that I don't know. Not a clue. Kind of looks like it might be generated, but I'm not sure.
Well, it would make sense. Yeah. There are all sorts of things you see in like AI groups online where people will post pictures and they'll like think, oh, this is AI and it's confusing so many people. And you look at it, it's like, no, that's not AI. That's just a weird picture, or that's Photoshopped. And like, so like a lot of people like to think of themselves on experts on figuring out what is AI. And a lot of discussion back and forth on exactly how to do that.
Yeah. So yeah, I told her I told her I liked her body and that I had a dad bod, and she appreciates the compliment. This dad bod's can be quite attractive. So there you go.
That sounds like something somebody who would say who is not into dad bods, but it's like, dad bods can be quite attractive.
Yeah. There's something about a confident and comfortable physique that can be very appealing. What do you enjoy about having a dad bod? Oh boy.
Okay, what do you enjoy about having a dad?
That's a good question. I don't know. Victoria wants to know. I'm having fun with that though. All right, you guys, we should move on.
Back to us next time.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But let's talk about Danny Matheson. Masterson. I thought it was Matheson, but it's Masterson.
Masterson.
Yeah. Okay. Masterson. Anyway, okay. He has been. I think I've talked about this on the show before. Danny Matheson, Scientologist, was accused of raping two women. The Scientology Church has done everything they can to get this kicked out of court, and they've under most circumstances they've been extremely good at doing so. This particular case, though, as I remember it, it got kicked out. It was kicked out of court, and then on appeal, they got a trial. I think because the two women that he was accused of raping, and actually has been convicted of raping, were not Scientologists at the time that he raped them. So they couldn't fall under the exemption that Scientology basically makes everybody sign. So the trial went forward, finally. He's convicted, and we got to the sentencing phase. And he was sentenced to 30 years to life. Now, it's not 30 years to life without parole. It's just 30 years to life. And so I was trying to look up exactly what that means. Because they had asked for 15 to life, but the judge gave them 15 for each, and they had to be and he has to serve those consecutively instead of concurrently. And that's important because we see, like, with all the Trump charges, that, like, he could go to jail for 300 years. And it's like, well, actually, no, because he would serve those sentences concurrently instead of consecutively. It's more like 4 years, right, or whatever it is, because you can serve all of those sentences all at the same time. But the way that because this is a sexual assault, he the maximum, and this is the maximum, too. He was given the maximum sentence of 30 years to life in prison. And based on what I've been looking at, what that means is he'll serve those 30 years, and then there's the possibility of parole, but no guarantee of parole. So he could be in prison for life. The question, I think, comes down to, is he still a danger to society, right? Do they think that if they let him out that he'll be a reoffender? I don't know. I suspect in Matheson's case that the answer Masterson. To that might be not. Masterson, sorry. Masterson, it maybe not, right? I don't know.
I don't know. With Bill Cosby, there was definitely a long-term pattern of behavior.
Yeah. These look like they might be more situational. That doesn't excuse it, by the way.
Nope.
But hopefully he's capable of learning his wrongs and not repeating. I don't think that this isn't one of those cases, I don't think, where two people came out and said, hey, he raped me, and then a whole bunch more did. But he certainly did rape these two women. You know, he was found guilty of raping. So here he is. He's 30 years to life. and there's no guarantee that he will get parole. Who knows? And we don't need to even speculate. So there will be a parole board that gets to make that decision. I'm glad it's not me, quite frankly, because I'm not sure how you know. there are people who get to make those determinations. So
you know, the question about the parole board is Lord Jarnathan going to be one of them?
Huh?
Because if Lord Jarnathan is there, then they can use him to get out. Still haven't seen the movie, have you, Brian?
Oh, the Dungeons and Dragons movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay. Well, yeah. Then you know that if Lord Jarnathan is there, that he's a shoo-in to get out.
Well.
That's right.
So anyway, so I can't say, you know, one way or another. I do think that it is good that he got the full sentence. Scientology has been getting people out of these kinds of charges for a very long, and they tried hard here, and they weren't not able. And it looks to me, from what I read, he got the max. But before sentencing, his family had reached out to people to ask them to write character letters, and Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis, and a whole bunch of other people wrote letters to the judge asking for leniency. And I think at some point prior to this, you know, Ashton Kutcher had made a statement that he hopes that his friend, you know, Danny Matheson, would be found innocent of these charges. So the whole thing is weird. So the letters, I have them in, I put them in full. Tony Ortega's Underground Bunker site. How this became knowledge to me is I get his email. And some of the things that they said in here, particularly Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis, you know, about how basically he was a big brother to her, yada, 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 and their friends, and asking him for leniency. And it's kind of, I don't know. And so there was some pushback on this, right? And some of these letters, I mean, the one from his wife I get, right? I totally get, you know, his wife doesn't want him to go away forever, right? He's got a 6-year-old daughter. You know, the wife makes his plea that he's a good father and that she'll have to grow up without a father. And it's like, okay, I get it. But some of the stuff in here that were said by Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis, I just feel like he was found guilty. And they're asking for this person, you know, because to him, they were a good people. I mean, one of them in here, it talks about how he lent somebody else their house to stay at. Why they were staying at some, you know, they needed someplace, I forget, you know, it was probably a vacation home. I'm thinking, that's, so the fuck what? Why is this even in here? This really doesn't tell you, I mean, that's not the kind of character things that I think a judge needs to see, right? He loaned me his vacation house. You should let him off easy. I found that a little disgusting. I forget exactly who put that in here. Because I read through all these letters and they're kind of a mush to me.
A meritorious act of loaning somebody your house doesn't excuse a felonious.
Right. Mm-hmm. And some of these were a little bit better about his character, about him.
It's always the nice guy. That, I mean, never anything, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
perfect person, blah, blah, blah.
The Ashton Kutcher one in particular, I mean, making a reference to a pizza parlor. And I don't know. I don't feel like these don't really say much about his character. It says, but they feel like, don't put my friend away.
Yeah.
And people like him in character.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So the people around him that he hasn't raped really seem to like him. Great. But what about his character makes you think that he shouldn't be locked up for the maximum amount of sentence for, you know, for these acts that he committed? Where in his character, right? So I feel like a character letter should say something about, you know, about the good that he does for society, right? As opposed to this good thing he did for me. And these letters feel pretty hollow.
He's known to keep women off the...
Oh, boy. And here's the thing, is that you can look back. I've been watching some other reactions to this, and some people playing videos from interviews about a bet that Ashton Kutcher and Danny Masterson had about him having, you know, he was going to have to kiss Mila Kunis on the show, right? Because they were dating. Here she's 14, he's 19, and they're going to have to kiss on the show. And, you know, some bet, side bet about him using tongue and some different things like that are, I don't know, don't age well.
The thing of it is, that doesn't speak to his character either.
It doesn't.
That's just
two
young guys running around.
Sure. Fine. But man, that's not very professional on the set of a TV show. But the couple of 19-year-old boys, it feels a little dirty to me when we're talking about a 14-year-old girl. It makes me very uncomfortable. Them making those kinds of side bets and stuff like that doesn't age well. But anyway, so here's the next thing that happened, right? Things are bad right now, right? Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher put up a response video. I don't know that I really call it an apology. And it was like a 60-minute video where they say they don't condone physical violence against women. The tone is very weird. And Mila Kunis almost sounds like, why the fuck do I have to do this? It feels very scripted and sterile. I don't know. I was not impressed by the video. And I'm not sure. I guess I understand why they did it, because they don't. But at the same time, they wrote the letters on behalf of their friend. And maybe it would have been better for them not to say anything at all, because I think it just stirred the controversy further, because I don't feel like their statements were actually well thought out and really addressed the situation. It didn't really address the situation. But, I mean, and one of the issues that Ashton Kutcher has is he has founded an organization that fights traffic. And so for him to put a character letter in support of a rapist, the optics aren't good.
Although, like, I kind of wonder, like, because a lot of these anti-trafficking organizations are just basically, you know, people who are, like, spreading misinformation about, all the myths about human trafficking out there, about, people grabbing women from random parking lots and stuff, and some of these, you know, like, you see the signs out there, like, know the signs of human trafficking, but... like, never should tell you any signs. It's like,
yeah,
look it up.
It's a little weird.
Thanks. But it's like, I've heard like the analysis several places that that's just racist dog whistles, because what they're saying is like, oh, look for people who's like, look for a white girl with an ethnic family. They're probably kidnapping her.
Yeah, that sounds, boy, that sounds a little dangerous, because there's a title of it.
That's what they're trying to say without actually saying that, I think.
So this is from Rotary.org, and this is Ashton Kutcher and Rotary address the global scourge of human trafficking. I have not read this article yet. I didn't have time for the show. So it might tell me more, but it is, he has endorsed this anti-trafficking agency, and which I appreciate, right? I mean, I can't say for sure if it to what extent or what good it does, but you know,
often these organizations just promote tougher laws on traffickers and stuff like that, rather than trying to like look at any kind of things that lead to trafficking.
Yeah. So yeah. Okay. But that aside, right? Okay. So what maybe they're doing fantastic. Okay. Who knows? But so
Somebody
here,
does,
but
I'm sure.
A still the optics of him advocating for his friend, the rapist, you know, to the judge, is a little bit. There's a part of me that wants to go, okay, they are friends, right? And it's always hard to think that your friend might be a rapist. But there's
if
quite
my
a
friend
bit of
lies,
evidence.
He'd go to jail.
Yeah, there's but there's quite a bit of problems. Evidence in this case. And he was found guilty.
Yeah.
So, but here's the thing is that and somebody come and ask you for a character letter, what do you do? And there's other things that might be going on here that people are saying that, I mean, and what if this Scientology church is threatening you, right? And I don't know if that's true or not, but that's one of the things that I'm hearing people saying in these videos that, well, you know, that maybe, you know, that there's speculation that they were getting threats from Scientology, and so that's what they did. People have asked for years, is, you know, are Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis Scientologists? And Mila Kunis has been pretty outspoken that she's not a Scientologist, and that, you know, that she doesn't have any problems, you know, with religion or anything like that. But she grew up in a certain way with Judaism and stuff like that. But she seems to be non-practicing of any religion at the moment, and she's on the record as saying, "No, I'm not a Scientologist." I gotta take her at her word for that, right? But I don't know what Scientology. We know that they do have a tendency to have a lot of dirt on people, right? But usually they get that through their auditing session. If she hasn't done any auditing, then I don't know. I don't like that argument because I don't see any evidence for it that because she's not a Scientologist, so I'm not sure that she could be pressured by Scientology. I think it's more to the fact that this is a friend of hers and Ashton Kutcher's who is going to jail, and they wanted to help. And they didn't think about the optics of it for anything else and how public this, right? And the other thing that Ashton Kutcher said in the video was that these were written to the judge. Like, he didn't think that they would become public for some reason. And maybe they wrote these and they didn't realize that they would become public. But I think most of the time, this kind of stuff, you know, it goes into the record and it's available, right? And so I think that I almost feel like they did this not realizing that everybody was going to know that they wrote these letters. And if they had known that, they might not have written them.
Yeah, it's true because, like, you have to think about that kind of stuff as a celebrity. I mean, like, either of us had written a letter like that for a friend or something, like, nobody would care.
Nobody would know, right?
Yeah. Unless we told it to other people, nobody would know or, you know, like, even really care that we did, like, or, like, bother to ask us about it or anything because, like, nobody cares about us. Like, I mean, of course, we have people care about us, but no, like, we're not, nobody, like, out there in the world really is looking into us like that.
You're not taking into account the massive fame this podcast brings.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I do get recognized every day. You know, they have to hear my voice, but then they're like, hey, are you dumb, man? And it's just like every time I open my mouth on the street, it happens, you know.
But it does. It is kind of a double-edged sword because you kind of want people to write character things for people, right? And, you know, but man, it might have been better coming from his AA group, right? That he's been working hard to stay clean or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But he's anti-drug and always has been, right? So that's one thing that comes up a lot in these letters is that, you know, that he's always been an anti-drug person and that he's helped people with certain stuff. And there was some things in these letters that I found persuasive.
Hold on.
Yeah, okay.
Did he not drug two women and rape them?
He did not drug them. No. There's no allegations of him drugging anybody. He's not Bill Cosby.
I had heard that he drugged the women. So,
I don't.
Okay.
Did he? Am I wrong? I didn't think he drugged them.
I could be wrong.
Oh boy. Okay. I'm gonna stay neutral on that because I don't remember that being said. But I guess it's possible, and I don't know for sure that he didn't. He's anti-drug. He didn't take them. But did he? Did he roofie somebody? I'd have to go back and look at the specifics of the case. I guess I'm gonna say I don't know. I don't remember. I don't recall that, but it doesn't. That I don't know. Anyway, so it blew up in their face. They tried to do a non-apology video, and that blew up even further because man, it just was bad. So I don't know. I read the letters. That there were very few things in there that made me sympathetic. There was a few things here and there that I thought, okay, well that's nice. That's a good thing. And then there was some stuff that was so superficial that it was like, why did somebody write this to the judge? And I didn't find most of it persuasive, and the judge didn't seem to either because he threw the book at him. He did not get. I don't think that he got a lenient sentence. In fact, he probably got the sentence. Anyway, big controversy. All right, let's move on, shall we? What do you got from
Moving
Mac?
Right along.
You asking me?
Yeah. Go ahead. Do one of your articles. Okay. What do you want to do here?
Let's go ahead and do the wine because we were talking about.
Yeah. Do the wine. Later. Yep, that's a good one.
So I just found this kind of interesting. Essentially, this wine company was, they were aging wine at the bottom of, and the wine was determined by officials to be not fit for human consumption, and they had to destroy 2,000 of them.
Okay, there's some things that I'm confused about. It was found not to be fit for human consumption, but why is that?
I don't drink wine, so no. They never received the proper permit on
that. Right, exactly. I mean, because when I read through this, I didn't see that it had anything to do with the juice in the bottle. Is that everything else that they did was illegal, including selling the stuff without having a liquor license, without a license to sell this stuff.
Yeah,
that's good.
And without a business license, also.
Yeah, and then
even better.
But here, I mean, go ahead.
Huh?
What these people did was pretty, and I thought we had talked about this, but I read a different article. And in fact, the article that I was looking at had pictures of the bottles, because I thought we talked about this, because we talked about even the labeling issues and stuff like that. I thought that we had talked about that. But anyway, they basically take a whole bunch of wine that they had made. They put it in the wine bottles, and they put the bottles at the bottom of the sea, and they let them age. So when they pulled them back up, the bottles looked pretty cool, really. But they had basically looked at some point like they'd be like reefs. And so essentially what they did is they essentially created a man-made reef, and then they ripped it right back out, right? Damaging the ecosystem. Oh,
yes.
And so this is to me the real problem of what they did, is that they damaged an ecosystem. Things had become, living on those now, and now they just pull them all back up. And this is where I really think that, this to me is, I think that's the worst part of what they did.
Was it just about getting the bottles to have a certain look, or
yes,
was there some sort of
exactly
theory about how it aged the wine?
Okay, but
they had a theory that it was the perfect environment for aging the wine there too.
But here's the thing: is that the wine? Well, it is. Wine will age in the bottle. Okay, so that's true. It says aging wine underwater creates stunning difference, says winery, and that's a related article that I have not read. That's just a headline that's here. So there might be something to be said, and I bet it has something to do with temperature regulation and stuff like that at the bottom of the sea, because the temperature would be really consistent over that time, I imagine. I imagine that it would probably get warmer and cooler depending on the time of the season, but it's probably only going to fluctuate a few degrees. So it probably is a good environment for certain reasons. We'd have to read what they are. But okay, so yes, so they think that it's going to be a good environment for aging the wine. And I don't know whether it's a white or a red. I would suspect a red would benefit more from this than a white, but I don't know for sure. I like I said, I'd have to read that other article. But here's the thing:
it's racist to ask, Brian.
Anyway, it says that they sold them for $500 and up. But of course, they had to destroy them all as part of a settlement. So of course, because they didn't, it wasn't taken kindly. The Santa Barbara District County Attorney. So they had to destroy them all. They were charged. There was a whole bunch of charges. Where's the list of charges in this article? It's right here in the first. So the at the bottom of the ocean. See. So they never received the proper permits from the California Coast and Commerce or the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to do this in the first place, right? So, which turned into the perfect environment into a legal one. Oh, it turned the perfect environment into a legal one, to an illegal one. On top of that, the company sold the wine without a business license. Okay, I thought without a, but okay,
and
so they didn't have
collected.
A.
They collected taxes without paying those taxes.
Yeah, so that's not good. But I imagine that they didn't have a liquor license, right? I thought I had read liquor license. So they didn't have a business license.
They don't have an alcohol sales permit.
There you go. So they didn't. Talk about what the fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, because just that first part there. It's like they didn't research this at all to say, can we even legally do this? And they made all the wine. And they're going to sell it, but man, they didn't go through the proper thing. I mean, I thought at least it was a business venture where the people were actually already selling liquor, but they weren't even selling.
Sounds just like some yokels got together. Like, I bet we could do this.
Yeah, exactly. And they did, and now they got in big trouble. So I mean, here's the thing. So
yeah.
Okay, so this is kind of an interesting novel idea, but you could synthetically create this environment, right? Because it's probably a lot to do with temperature control. I'm guessing. I don't think the pressure, and maybe the pressure at the bottom of the sea has something to do with it. It was dealing with heat and pressure, right? At those depths. So I don't know how that affects it. But let's say that those are good effects. You could potentially create an environment that would do the exact same thing, allow you to age the wine in an artificial environment, get all the same effects, and still have cool looking bottles with this aged juice inside of it, and do it all, and it seems like that would be cheaper than paying the fines
and losing the entire crop.
Yeah, exactly. And they lost the entire crop. It's so weird. I mean, it's like, man, what a bunch of that's yeah. Wow.
They didn't think past put it in the water.
Or it's also possible this whole thing you know, did they have investors that invested to take it to the cleaners?
I thought it said something about investors in here. Oh, okay, yeah, investor fraud. So there's another charge in here.
Good.
There's another charge. And so they had to pay $50,000 in restitution to the investor.
Okay.
So yeah, so there was an investor. So there's another thing that cost them money, is that they defrauded an investor.
Good for them. All right, they're on a roll.
I mean, the real winner. Real winner. I can make wine at home, right? Mm-hmm. But I can't sell it. I don't have the proper licensing to sell something that I make. And I'm well aware of that. Were they not aware of that? Selling alcohol without a license and abetting investor fraud. That's a felony.
Oh yeah. It's all a felony.
Okay. Yeah.
It's such a perfect storm of stupid moves. You've got to wonder if it was actually intended to land that.
I mean, no, I think it was just a couple of dumbasses.
Nothing.
My people.
No, I'm sorry. I mean.
No, I claim them. They're my people.
Don't invest with them.
No, of course not.
Oh my God. It's so bad. Yeah. I had a lot to say about your article, Mac.
You did.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the last thing I'm going to say is, wouldn't you have thought that if it was just accidental, they would have gotten one thing right?
I don't know. They got nothing. Everything they did was wrong. I mean, maybe the wine might have been good. Maybe they got that right, but they had to destroy it as part of the settlement.
Yeah.
So bad. All right.
It's funny.
I'd like to say nobody got hurt, but they damaged an ecosystem when they did.
And they also had fraud.
Well, I mean, the ecosystem wouldn't have existed without them, so I guess you can kind of say it's a wash.
I guess that's true, though, because something would have been growing in that place without those bottles there, right? And so they
depends. Not necessarily. I know, like, they create, like, artificial and stuff in, areas that can convince, like, the local life to move in.
Yeah, So they did that. They convinced it to move in, and then they stole their home.
Yep.
God send the vet. The vet and volunteer who cares for 9/11 rescue dog. What do we got here?
We have a whole big thing about 9/11.
So the dog suffered burns?
Yeah, they had to have veterinarians. Their dogs suffered things like burns, cuts, dehydration. And they got all this while they were sorting through the rough rubble. Of course, you know, hot metal, hot cement, everything. One dog, Apollo, survived after being engulfed in flame, and another dog was saved after falling almost 50
feet. Wow.
Yeah. So about 350 dogs searched what they called the pile for months, often becoming depressed when their search yielded no results, according to veterans. Keeping them healthy was continuous, considering their dangerous work that they were doing, trying to find people or whatever they could find alive there. Members of New York Police Department, the Service Unit, Canine Division, volunteers and officials from the Suffolk County, New York Society for the Prevention of Cruelty of Animals. They're all there to help these animals, help everyone else by trying to find.
That's cool that you never hear about, you hear about like all the humans that were rescued in the rubble and everything. And it's just cool that you hear about the
animals that help, yeah. And there were so many dogs that they had there and were in care of. And they even had dogs there that were not going in to save anyone because that wasn't what they could do. But there were some dogs there for mental health, basically.
Comfort.
And this one person, yeah, for comforting people, this one fireman came to this guy with one of the comfort dogs. He just wrapped his arms around the dog and just started crying and telling the dog all everything that was that had happened. It was really a the searching and the help with the mental, the comforting and everything these dogs did was just apparently the last known. The last known dog from all of this passed away last, the last known helper dog, and Golden, and, it was just amazing how fast they got in there. helping the dogs, helping them. They just come from the vet clinics right out going to them. They're helping them with the water. It was, I mean, so it's a big thing.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, you don't, this is not often the story that's told about the dog. So that's cool.
No. Oh, they also say that
that's good too.
They hadn't seen anything come out alive.
Well, that's cool.
Well, I think on that nice note, everybody should say goodnight.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
That is another one in the can.
But not on my phone.
The Amateur Skeptics present Ian's Masturbation Moment, brought to you by the Dumbass Media Empire. The Dumbass Media Empire, bringing you content that touches people while they touch themselves.